fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Coming up on Friday's show, the Confederation of African Football, CAF, holds the draw for next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. Defending champion South Africa prepares for a big Rugby World Cup quarterfinal against host France, and Kenya's marathon world record breaker Kelvin Kiptum is in the running for a big award in world athletics. These stories and much more. Let's kick off in Abidjan, the Ivorian commercial capital, where 24 African football teams were drawn into six groups of four each for next year's Nations Cup tournament. In Group A, we have host Ivory Coast, Nigeria, Equatorial Guinea, and Guinea-Bissau. Group B features the Pharaohs of Egypt, winners of a record seven Nations Cup titles, Ghana, Cape Verde, and Mozambique. Group C has defending Nations Cup champion Senegal, Cameroon, Guinea, and Gambia. In Group D, it's Algeria, Burkina Faso, Mauritania, and Angola. Group E has Tunisia, Mali, South Africa, and Namibia. And finally, in Group F, it's Morocco, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Zambia, and Tanzania. Our Sunny Side of Sports listeners will remember last year in Qatar, the Atlas Lions of Morocco made history as the first African team to reach the World Cup semifinals. But Morocco's only Nations Cup title came in 1976 in Ethiopia. Former Ivory Coast captain Didier Drogba, the country's all-time top scorer, was among the stars who attended the Nations Cup draw ceremony in Abidjan.
Toutes les équipes seront redoutables. Je pense que pour arriver à ce stade-là de la compétition, faut avoir quand même un certain niveau de jeu.
All the teams will be formidable, says Drogba. I think that to reach this stage of the competition, you need to have a certain level of play. So all the teams are formidable, and now it's up to us to rise to the occasion, because if we want to win the trophy, we're going to have to perform well. Didier Drogba competed in five Africa Cup of Nations tournaments during his great career, scoring 11 goals. But Ivory Coast never won the title with Drogba. The Elephants of Ivory Coast have won the Nations Cup trophy twice, in 1992 and 2015. Solomon Kalou was a member of that 2015 Nations Cup winning team, and he thinks Ivory Coast can win a third Nations Cup trophy on home soil.
Right now, you have a great team for this competition. With all the great team that we have, yeah, we can manage to be favorite because we are playing home, and if you play home, it gives you more power. So let's see.
Former Tunisian defender Radi Djaidi also attended the Nations Cup draw ceremony in Abidjan. The 48-year-old Djaidi made 105 international appearances for the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia, and he lifted the Nations Cup trophy in 2004.
Pour la Tunisie, le groupe E, je pense... par rapport à notre jeune équipe.
Group B for Tunisia, says Djaidi. I think with regards to our young team, we have to take our chances from the very start. We must be ready for this group because Mali and South Africa are not easy matches. The 34th edition of African football's premier event will kick off on January 13th. And the final is scheduled for February 11th at the 60,000-seat Alassane Ouattara Stadium, which opened in 2020 and is named after the president of Ivory Coast. This former Nigerian player lifted the Nations Cup trophy in 1994, and 2 years later, he won a gold medal at the Atlanta Olympics.
Sporty greetings
This is Emmanuel Amuneke, former Nigerian player. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Paul Pierce, who was enshrined in the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2021. Pierce is celebrating his 46th birthday on this Friday. He was a 10-time NBA All-Star, and he won the NBA championship in 2008 with the Boston Celtics. At the Hall of Fame website, it reads, and I quote, "Paul Pierce was deceptively quick, effortlessly smooth, and innately calm, even in the most pressure-filled situations. He was equal parts slasher, three-point specialist, and mid-range specialist." That's the truth! Yes, that was Paul Pierce's nickname, the truth. Happy birthday to former Boston Celtics basketball star, Paul Pierce. In professional women's basketball, you might say the Las Vegas Aces are coming up aces in the WNBA Finals. The Aces have beaten the New York Liberty by big margins in the first two games of the Best of Five Championship Series, and they'll be looking to wrap things up on Sunday at the Barclays Center Arena in Brooklyn, New York. The Aces beat the Liberty 99-82 in Game 1 and 104-76 in Game 2. The Aces are looking to become the first WNBA team to win back-to-back titles since the Los Angeles Sparks in 2001 and 2002.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. More pro basketball news. Cameroonian star Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers is inspiring young players in his birthplace of Yaoundé. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
Young Bama Francis trains with about 20 of his peers at a community basketball pitch in Glonkak, a neighborhood in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé. The 11-year-old says he and the other teenagers have big dreams.
I want to be a big star like Joel Embiid. I enjoy watching on TV, on NBA. And I asked my father, and my father said, he used to play basketball on this very pitch at Glonkak.
It is on this very pitch that one of the best basketball players on the planet, Joel Embiid, had his humble beginnings, which eventually made him to travel to America at the age of 16. Daniel Akonu was Embiid's teammate, roommate, and very close friend at Kosenge Basketball Club in Yaoundé. Akono remembers how the beginning was tough for Embiid.
What people should know about Joel is that with his height, his uncle saw that he can very quickly become a professional if he play basketball. So his uncle brought him to Lonkak, to Kosangwe. And the coach of Kosangwe during that period was Coach Mojo. And that is how Embiid and I became friend. Seeing he was living in BMRC, it was very difficult for him after the practice of the morning to go back home in BMRC and come back in the afternoon. So it was crucial for him to stay here with me. This is how we created our relationship.
Akono said he also wanted to travel to America, but God had different plans for him. He says he feels proud that Embiid made it where he could not and valuably represents Cameroon. Among Embiid's admirers is Didier Bidias, who in 2011 was director of Mba Amote Camp that assembles and helps talented basketball players to live their dreams. Embiid took part at the camp.
We discovered that Joel had a great potential at just 15. He was 2.9 meters tall, and that was great for the team. We thought it was a good opportunity to give him the chance to participate in the youth NBA games in South Africa, even though initially no one trusted his talent.
Didier adds that basketball has lifted Embiid from an unknown person in Cameroon to a world superstar.
Joel Embiid, comme lui-même le dit, son histoire est un film.
Joel Embiid used to say his journey is a miraculous one because he sustained an injury in 2014 on the eve of his pre-selection for Philadelphia side. He had to spend 3 extra years down before officially playing his first game on October 29, 2017 against Thunders, and he got 29 points.
Ils vont gagner le championnat.
But Embiid's decision to become both a French and US citizen in 2022 is causing strong reactions in his country of birth, Cameroon. Many Cameroonians say he should have returned home to help Cameroon's national basketball team that is keeping the dream of qualifying to their first men's Olympic basketball tournament alive after winning their first continental title in the sport. Fabien Onana, however, says Embiid can play for either France or America, but his love for Cameroon never fits.
Bon, en tant que Joel Embiid, en tant que jeune Camerounais, de venir investir au Cameroun.
He says Joel Embiid has already inspired thousands of Cameroonian youths to love and play basketball. Onana says Embiid told Cameroon state broadcaster CRTV that he will give assistance to his country of birth by constructing modern basketball courts and equipping basketball teams. He says Embiid remains a patriot and Cameroon's ambassador in the basketball world.
C'est un modèle. Aller loin et ne pas oublier ses origines, c'est louable.
The NBA announced that 29-year-old Embiid was most valuable player in May 2023. The player who left Cameroon in 2012 to pursue basketball in the United States is the second African to have been awarded the distinction after Nigeria's Hakeem Olajuwon in 1994. Embiid's rise to basketball glory is a huge inspiration for Cameroonian basketball players and youths yearning to play the game. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Moki Edwin Kinzeka in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Rain on me. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. Kenya's Kelvin Kiptum recently crossed the American border and crushed the marathon world record in Chicago. Kiptum clocked 2 hours and 35 seconds, breaking the previous mark of 2 hours, 1 minute, and 9 seconds set by fellow Kenyan Eliud Kipchoge at the 2022 Berlin Marathon. Now, it was only the third career marathon for the 23-year-old Kiptum and his third career marathon victory. Kelvin won the Valencia Marathon in Spain last year, as well as the London Marathon earlier this year. As a result of his marathon heroics, Kelvin Kiptum is one of 11 nominees for the Men's World Athlete of the Year Award, which will be presented by World Athletics on December 11th. Defending champion South Africa will face host France Sunday in a Rugby World Cup quarterfinal. The encounter near Paris should be a cracker, as we hear now from Myron Nyka. Sporty greetings, Myron!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. It's billed as a blockbuster clash, and for good reason. World number two ranked South Africa up against third-ranked France in their own backyard. South Africa, the defending champions, are chasing an unprecedented fourth title. Coach Jacques Nedeba has named an experienced squad which boasts 15 players who were involved in the World Cup final 4 years ago. He says the players understand their mandate.
Since we started in 2020, that was our aim, was to win the World Cup. I mean, otherwise, why are you even in it? You know? So, no, Percy, no, definitely. Our aim was always to do that, and we are preparing and giving it a best shot. We know since the draw was out that the quarterfinals is probably going to boil down to France and New Zealand. It's going to be one of those two teams. It's always going to be a big game. Doesn't matter which team you play in the quarterfinal when it's France who's playing at home, or if it's New Zealand. I mean, it will be a tough quarterfinal. I think the same for Ireland and New Zealand. Is going to be a tough quarterfinal. And that's how quarterfinals will be. You know, all the quarterfinals, I think, will be really close and closely contested.
Hundreds of South Africans have made the journey over to Paris to get behind the box. Back home, box supporters will rally around their living rooms as well as local viewing areas and pubs to catch the game. Springbok captain Siya Kolisi believes a big part of their success is down to the incredible support they receive.
We find strength in each other, and we always know that we have over 65 million backing us from people back at home who will be watching and supporting. So all we do, no matter how loud it is out there, because we played last year in Marseille and the atmosphere was amazing. It was great for, obviously.
A number of South Africans who play in France's top-flight domestic league have an intrinsic understanding of French rugby as well as their culture and traditions. One such player is Kobus Reinach, who is on the books of Montpellier.
It's an advantage to have played here. I think there's a lot of our players who have played here and still play here, like Trevor. I won't say it's an advantage on game day, but knowing how things work and the culture, we can give some insight to how that is and how the French might think or find solutions.
The big news coming out of the French camp is the inclusion of star player Antoine Dupont in the starting lineup. The current World Player of the Year underwent surgery on his cheek just 3 weeks ago, but has made a remarkable recovery. According to Reinach, the Springboks are not stressing too much over Dupont's inclusion, but focusing more on their own approach.
If you have that title, you are a special player, and he's proven it playing for Toulouse and for the French team. Every game he plays, there's some highlight reel of a magic moment, a cross kick or a pass or pulling someone back over the try line. So he is an unbelievable player. We haven't spoken a lot about the fact that if he's going to play or not. We're just focusing on how we have to prepare, how our systems work, and what we need to do in the game.
In the other quarterfinals, top-ranked Ireland take on New Zealand, England face Fiji, and Wales take on Argentina. The semi-finals are scheduled for next weekend. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Myron Nyka in Durban, South Africa.
Thanks, Myron. Samson Omale joins us once again with reaction from Ghana's head coach to the Nations Cup draw. And Samson also has more African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sunny. We begin the sport with reaction to the draws for the 2023 Africa Cup of Nations, which was conducted on Thursday night. Host Cote d'Ivoire will play regional rivals Nigeria in Group A alongside Equatorial Guinea and Guinea-Bissau. Defending champions Senegal were pitted against Cameroon in Group C, with Guinea and Gambia completing the group in what looks like a competitive pool. Egypt, hunting for a record-extending 8th continental crown, will face Ghana in Group B in a repeat of the 2010 final, which the Pharaohs won late on. Cape Verde and Mozambique are also in the group. Black Stars of Ghana coach Chris Hunton reacts to the AFCON 2023 draws and reveals plans to win for Ghana.
For sure, it's very, very tough opposition. But the first thing you think about is it's a competition that you're very much looking forward to. You know, to play against certainly one of the best teams in Africa at this particular moment. But that's just part of it. And of course, in Mozambique and Cape Verde, they're two teams that I don't know so much about. We will, of course, do all of our homework over these coming months, and seeing their games, of course, their games next month, and we will do the homework the best that we can. But I think the whenever a group comes out, you know, I think you always look at it that it could have been better for us, but of course you also have to look at it could have been worse. So it's one that we will very much look forward to.
Algeria, Tunisia, Mali and South Africa add further star quality to Group E in another exciting pool. Elsewhere, Morocco should navigate a comfortable Group F containing DR Congo, Zambia and Tanzania. In women football, the Uganda women's under-20 national football team, the Queen's Cranes, and their Mozambican counterparts will face off at the Federation of Uganda Football Association Technical Center in Njeru on Saturday in the return leg of the 2024 FIFA Under-20 Women World Cup due in Colombia. Uganda convincingly won the first leg 6-0 away in Mozambique last week and only need to draw or lose by lesser goals to advance to the next stage of the competition. The winner over the two legs will face off with the winner between Senegal and Benin. Ayub Khalifa is the coach of the Queen Cranes of Uganda.
Going forward, tomorrow we need to play a game that is a bit more serious than the one we played the other side. Because what I know, they're coming with a different game approach. We maneuvered to score 6 goals last time, but now scoring the 6 here might be a bit even harder, because I know every team changes depending on the situation at hand.
Hadija Nadango, captain of the Queen Cranes, described the mood in camp as exciting.
Everyone is excited to play the game tomorrow. And I've told the players to forget about the win we made in Mozambique, to go on the field when they are goal hungry, so that we qualify to the next level.
In mixed martial art news, Nigerian mixed martial artist Kamaru Usman will face Sweden's Hamzat Chimaev at the co-main event of the UFC 294 scheduled to take place on October 21st, 2023 at the Etihad Club in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. Usman, nicknamed the Nigerian Nightmare, was not originally part of the UFC 294 fight card. The event was billed to feature Chimaev against Brazil's Paulo Costa. Following tests conducted on the fighters ahead of the Abu Dhabi showdown, Costa was deemed ineligible to compete due to an elbow injury. The Nigerian Nightmare is not underrating his opponent.
He's done a tremendous job with the opposition that he's been presented with. No shame in that. He's doing great. You know, I like it. I love all the hype that's being there. Like, let's all be honest. You know, life is not fair. You know, we learn that as kids. You know, life isn't fair. So I know, you know, some guys get a faster push, some guys don't. But it is what it is. You know, more power to him.
In basketball news, Bangui Sporting Club closed their Group B campaign of the Road to Basketball African League with a stunning 88-87 win over host Forces Armées et Police, FAP, on Thursday. It was Bangui Sporting Club's second straight win in the group after starting with an unexpected 73-69 defeat to Espoir Basketball Club. The win means the Bangui-based club advanced to the West Division Elite 16 round as Group B winners, despite finishing with a similar win-loss record of FAP. Both Bangui Sporting Club and FAP advanced to the West Division Elite 16 scheduled for Yaoundé from October 31st to November the 5th. In golf news, the 91st edition of the Uganda Ladies, holding at the Uganda Golf Club in Kampala, will be concluded on Saturday. Participants from 18 countries are competing for top honors in the three-day event. 80 players competed in the silver category on Thursday after losing the Uganda Golf Club Ladies Open title to Eva Magara on the last day last weekend. Kabasweka Peace got off to a good start and led the one with a score of 4 under 72 par.
I played a calm game, like it wasn't a tournament. That's how I put myself in that position. If it's a par 4, go for it. If not, a bogey is good enough. You can go with a bogey. So I think it will work throughout the 2 days.
Kenyan golfer Mercy Nachama is concerned that the rains could disrupt the quality of her game.
I've practiced enough, so I know what to do, but I'm hoping the rain tomorrow it will stop for us like to finish, and then it rains maybe in the evening.
In athletics, Nigerian runner Divine Odudu was on Thursday handed a 6-year ban by the World Athletics Integrity Unit, ARU, for a doping violation. Odudu was suspended as a result of a verdict from the World Athletics Disciplinary Tribunal that was established to investigate allegations of 2 potential anti-doping rule violations by ARU. Odudu, in the judgment dated September 18th, which was signed by Anna Bodegova, did not test positive for any banned substance.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale reporting from Abuja, Nigeria. In National Football League action Thursday night, the reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs were victorious. And one of the fans in attendance, once again, was pop star Taylor Swift. The AP's Greg Eklund reports from Kansas City, Missouri.
The 19-8 win marks the 16th straight game the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Denver Broncos. That's the 4th longest streak over an individual opponent in NFL history. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes threw his only touchdown pass of the game in the second quarter.
I still think there was a lot of good things we can take from it. We just got to continue to get better and better. Luckily for us, our defense is playing great, so we can go through these growing pains and try to get better and better. But I mean, the talent's there. You can see it in spurts.
Mahomes connected with tight end Travis Kelce 9 times for 124 yards, with pop singer Taylor Swift again looking on as a fan. Greg Eklund, Kansas City.
Messi through to Campana.
Yes, Lionel Messi has been remarkable to watch during his great football career. Now viewers can watch more of Messi in a 6-part series that's now streaming on the Apple TV Plus platform. The show is titled Messi Meets America, and it showcases Messi's journey to Major League Soccer after winning the World Cup last year with Argentina. The show's executive producer is Scott Boggins.
You know, we have a great partnership with MLS and with Inter Miami that has provided this opportunity to embed ourselves with the team during this, you know, absolutely transformative moment for not only that organization, but for soccer in America. This just didn't happen in July. There was many, many, many months that led into this. And when you can, and in the first episode, you know, it starts with David Beckham, who he made his own personal decision to come to the MLS back in 2007. And part of that process and that agreement was that he would someday become an owner himself of a franchise. That franchise became Inter Miami, and David understood that and saw the opportunity, as well as Jorge Mas and the ownership group at Inter Miami, to bring in the game's best.
Boggins says Messi was incredibly cooperative with his time during the filming of the show. He also thanks Inter Miami for their support.
They really appreciated that because they knew that we were going to be there throughout the entire duration of the season, and that we were there to try to tell, you know, the story, not just of that singular event, of the season. And so we took it very slow with them, and we were able to capture, as viewers will see in the six episodes, really priceless moments.
Does a viewer need to be a Messi or a sports fan to enjoy some of those priceless moments?
They don't. And that's the beauty of this, because what Lionel Messi means to a lot of folks is more than the pitch. Yeah, he's magical on the pitch.
Thank you for tuning in. And that's the sunny side of sports.